This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Roll out in Tokyo. Will we remember them as the coronavirus games? And I hate to say that, as it is so awful for the athletes that have really pushed it to the limit their entire lives. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on this show, whether you are on our shores or off. Welcome for my Aussie friends, those in the UK, Ireland, Brazil, and so many other places. I thank you so much for your very, very thoughtful emails. And we'll hit some of those up when we go to the mailbag. Some of you are thinking about the Tokyo Games. So what's really sad is Coco Gauff. She would have been incredible on the U.S. Women's Olympic team in tennis, a real ringer for us in the United States, but she tested positive for COVID-19, so she is out. It's going to be a lot, I think, about who the alternates are. An alternate for the U.S. Women's Gymnastic team, which is expected to win a ton of medals, tested positive for coronavirus while training near Tokyo. She's in quarantine while another alternate who was in close contact with her is on standby. There are some obvious questions about the status of even the six members of the team who traveled to Japan with the alternates. My first thought was, oh no, not Simone Biles. She is the beacon representing America. She is seeking a gold medal haul that would just completely cement her iconic status as the greatest gymnastic phenomenon of all time, seriously. And if something happened and she wasn't able to do that, which would be crushing to the games, to the Team USA, etc., she still would go down in history as one of the best of all time. But this was really her final Olympics. Final Olympics, and we'll see. It's risky that the people around her are in the situation that they're in. And, you know, here's the thing. With only about 22% of the Japanese population fully vaccinated, the Tokyo Olympics are, you know, a super spreader event, if you think about it. Because how do you get from point A to point B? You know, it's not like the boy in the bubble. It's impossible to do that. And then it's a question of, you know, who was getting vaccinated before the games. Like, for example, Michael Andrew, who's a swimmer on the U.S. team, says he's not getting vaccinated before the games because he thinks the side effects could interfere with his training schedule. And he is right to consider that because what he says is everything that they take and put in their body is calculated. And the period going into the Olympic trials, he didn't want to risk any time out of the pool because who knows, would he have made the team or not. And there are, of course, teams from around the world that are taking tests and holding their breath, etc. Should these games have been canceled? Well, it's too late to even consider that question now. Everyone's going to be watching, or at least some in the world will be watching. And you know that old saying, you heard the Olympic theme, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. The agony is waiting to figure out whether or not you're testing positive for COVID-19. Oof. Boy, oh boy. It all starts next week, and we'll see how it ends up. I am seriously concerned, as I was last year when they had to cancel them, and I so feel for the Olympic athletes because I've interviewed so many in my career, and I know what it takes to get to that level and the sacrifices the athletes made and their families made, frankly. All right, speaking of COVID-19, seems we have, yes, of course, another controversy brewing over masks. Mask mandates are making a huge return, perhaps. Where you're listening to me, this is exactly what's happening. In Los Angeles, people are furious over this. Los Angeles County, because of the Delta variant, the coronavirus has, you know, of the Delta variant of the coronavirus has pushed health officials, they say, against a wall to reimpose that mask mandate. Then go up north, Bay Area health officers heading into the weekend recommended that people in seven counties and the city of Berkeley, California, resume wearing masks indoors. So mask mandates are being discussed in Arkansas, Missouri. I know you're listening to me there, where the cases have shot up. And this is what really infuriates people, because they don't want to wear a mask indoors, especially if they've been vaccinated. And I guess it's just a question of, we got to brace for this, because there may be a time when we hear that every nook and cranny has got to mask up. And remember, we didn't hear that across the board. It was up to the states, depending on what the governors decided the measure was that was appropriate. And even that was controversial, because it was a constant tug of war over opening, reopening, crushing businesses, and then opening them up, having nobody to work on the front lines because they had all been laid off and gone to do other things. I mean, there's just a myriad of tentacles of stories attached to all of that that we know for the past 15 months. I mean, it's a free country, right? And people are evaluating their personal risks. And are they ultimately going to make the decision of wearing a mask or not when they're told to do that? Senator Rand Paul said in a statement last week that he's introducing legislation that would ban mask mandates on planes and public transportation, because he's saying that people have to decide for themselves, exactly what I had said, that people are going to decide whatever their risk is. The daily average of confirmed U.S. coronavirus cases has tripled in the past month, from fewer than 12,000 way back in the middle of June to almost 35,000 on Monday. And these are stats that I get from Johns Hopkins University. And, of course, the Washington Post always has a 7-day rolling average of coronavirus cases. And experts say on transmission, on coronavirus transmission, masks are a critical tool to protecting unvaccinated Americans and even vaccinated people, because there's a lot of evidence that infections in some fully immunized adults have, it has happened. They have gotten COVID-19. I had a friend, I said that he was in Los Angeles with his family. They took a trip to San Diego, very exposed and lots of crowded places, woohoo, celebrating all kinds of sports victories, having fun with his son and his wife, and he tested positive for COVID-19. And lots of us have stopped wearing face coverings, and it's probably going to be pretty difficult to persuade people to resume wearing them. Will you wear a mask if you're vaccinated? Let me know. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. We're headed to the mailbag next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. So Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back to school and off to college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college.
Now let's talk about the milk. Can we talk about the milk, please, milk? I'm dying to talk about the milk with you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The milk.
Yes, remember, you can send me 24/7, whatever's on your mind, Kate, at katedelaneyradio.com. So I got a lot of emails about masks, lockdowns, that kind of thing. Where are we headed? What's going on with the Delta variant? We've been talking about it. We've had people on talking about it. We've talked about the vaccines. We've talked about all kinds of angles, shaking it up. Backwards, forwards, and every single side you can think of. And we're going to continue to do that. But I got this from Clinton, who is listening to us in Victoria. And he says, hello, Kate. We listen to you down under, so to speak. And we just had our lockdown extended. And in fact, we had our border shut to Sydney, so that's how they're taking it here. It's been extended for another week, like I said, I think until July 27th, and the concern is the rise of some cases, and because of that, the Premier is saying that we got to have more stay-at-home orders, and the borders are shut from Sydney. Just essential workers, freight drivers, etc., are allowed through. That is it, because the chain of transmission is not contained at this point. So it's a serious thing, and while it's infuriating and it's hurting some of my friends as far as the industries that they're involved in, we've had a slow vaccine rollout, one of the slowest in our particular kind of countries. And so we are more vulnerable to the Delta variant. You in the United States and your listeners should know that you are so much more lucky. So those who are the holdbacks who don't want to get vaccinated, I would say think again, because you don't want to end up in situations like me and my mates are at this point. Love your show. Thanks for all you do in highlighting the greatness of some of the authors from Australia. All right, so thanks for that. And yeah, so I mean, there you go. You're just shutting off the border to Sydney. Can you imagine, right? I got this from Christina in Oklahoma City. Kate, I discovered you about a month ago. I've been listening. We love you here. Somebody said the other night you had ties to Oklahoma City or had been here a lot, and that's good news. Next time you're in town, let me know. I would love to hook up. And I laugh because, you know, I blow through places so fast. And Christina goes on to say, what happened in Texas with the explosion where people were injured? Is one of those gas line things, I think. Certainly we have had our share of that here and there, and it always makes me wonder about what's underneath and what we don't know, or what we are blissfully ignorant to. I think what you're talking about when you're talking about that explosion, because it did make big headlines. There were six people that were hospitalized, and it was in Plano, a Dallas suburb. Just the house was leveled by this explosion, and they don't know the cause. The energy company responsible for that area, the largest natural gas distributors, actually in the nation, Atmos, they were trying to figure it out. They're helping with that investigation. Somebody was home and was hurt, and then there were five neighbors too, and it sounded like it just booms, like they were being attacked, and then at the end, like lightning, I guess, and so the surrounding houses got some damage too. This isn't too far away from where I hail from, so I got a lot of texts from people. There was, you know, glass breaking and things that were happening to people that lived close by. It could have been much worse, but it's very, very sad. They shut off gas lines all around that area, and they're still investigating right now. And I guess because when we see the thing with the gas lines, it does freak you out, right? And it's just rubble. I mean, it's scattered lumber all over the place. It just poof. I mean, it exploded. That whole house went up just like that. I mean, so crazy. All right, got this one from Keith, who is listening to us in Palm Springs, because he said, I love how you're all picking up on places I've been and places I like. And he says, when was the last time you were at La Quinta? What did you shoot? And how much do you like Palm Springs? In Palm Springs, we have been having an influx of golfers and tourists and whatnot, so it feels good, but I worry about what's happening in Los Angeles and how that could threaten us too, because of the mask mandate that that they have going on, and does that end up touching us? Well, yeah, you know, you're the playground. Thanks for that, by the way, and I do like Palm Springs, and yes, I used to go to Palm Springs all the time. The last time I was there was before the pandemic, 2019. In fact, I was on my way to Palm Springs when everything cratered, or Los Angeles and then Palm Springs. And I'm glad you listened to us on KGX, just a great, great station. So you should be concerned. You should be concerned that that could happen. But, you know, what the response is, you're part of California, so the California COVID response would hit Palm Springs. I'm glad that people are coming there and they're taking advantage of weather when it's not too hot, because it's I mean, it was baking just last week. You're looking at like 109, 106, that kind of stuff. You got to get out early if you're going to go and play some golf. But I would say keep your fingers crossed that it doesn't get, you know, that it doesn't get any worse, because you would be touched by it. Of course you would be. All right, let's go to another one. This one is from Barry, and Barry says, "Hey, Kate, I don't know if you saw this. I know you're a dog lover, but I saw this cool story. I'm a dog lover, so I kind of have those alerts when there's interesting things that happen with dogs. Did you see the story about the dog that was missing and then was found after being stuck between a couple of concrete walls?" I did. I think that made national news. I read it somewhere. It could have been USA Today or CNN or somewhere. But yeah, the dog named Gertie went missing. The dog ran into the woods, didn't come back. They were, you know, desperate. They had posters out for the dog and hung them all over the place. And this was, by the way, in Cincinnati. And then I guess somebody heard a dog crying, and it sounded like it was coming from their garage wall, called the Cincinnati Fire Department. When they got to the house, what happened was the dog fell down a crevice, and isn't that odd? Fell down a crevice and ended up being stuck in between concrete walls. So there was no way to lift the dog out of the crevice. They had to breach the concrete block wall with saws and a sledgehammer. The fire department had to do that. They posted, I think it went viral. They posted the video of the rescue on Facebook and got the dog out. And, I mean, this dog was missing for 5 days, and there's the crying. And how about that? So $1,000 worth of damage. Gertie, $1,000 worth of damage. Hey, neighbor, don't worry. We'll fix that for you. But it is a cool story. I mean, of all the things that we keep hearing, getting bombarded by, that's some good news, right? The dog goes missing. You're panicked because, let's face it, dogs are like family members now. And they luckily hear the cries, and who knew? Slides down a little tiny slot and gets completely, you know, stuck. Crazy. All right, here's one from Mac, who says, "Kate, a couple times. I don't know if, I know you pay attention to some of the crazy, wacky potential laws that are out there in different states, and I know that you have times in the year when you go through them, especially at the beginning of the year or November-ish, but how about the story out of Maine where voters are trying to figure out, or consider, I guess, whether they should embed in their constitution an amendment that establishes a right to grow and consume food for their own nourishment. What do you make of that? What I make of it is, I guess they say it's an evolution, that the Maine Food Sovereignty Act will help cities and towns be able to adopt local food ordinances and have a right to grow what they want to grow and eat. Critics say, yikes, might not be good. I'm kind of up in the air. Thanks, everybody. Stay with us.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale. Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
At least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. The bootleg wildfire in southern Oregon continues to grow as fire officials say the weather is working against them. The fire has burned through more than 343,000 acres of the Fremont-Winema National Forest in the surrounding area and has destroyed more than 160 homes and structures. At least 2,000 people have been evacuated from mostly rural areas near the blaze. Firefighters say the blaze is currently 25% contained. The weather is unlikely to improve conditions anytime soon, with forecasters saying that temperatures will continue to be 10 to 15 degrees hotter than average without any rain on the horizon. And a Florida man has been sentenced in the first felony case from the investigations into the January 6th riots at the Capitol. Paul Hodgkins was sentenced to 8 months in prison on a charge of obstructing an official proceeding, a charge that carries a maximum 20-year sentence. Hodgkins is one of more than 500 people that have been arrested for their actions during the riot. You're listening to USA Radio News. The White House is trying to tone down its recent criticism of social media, especially Facebook, over the sharing of COVID misinformation. Tim Berg reports from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
President Biden is walking back comments regarding Facebook killing people, the administration slamming Facebook for allowing free speech on the platform. Biden saying the spread of misinformation by roughly a dozen people on Facebook is causing vaccine hesitancy across the country.
Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it. It's killing people. It's bad information. My hope is that Facebook, instead of taking it personally, somehow I'm saying Facebook is killing people, that they would do something about the misinformation.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
Delaney, a reminder that you can jam on at any time. We're talking about a couple of interesting things here, like the mask mandates. And do you believe, like Senator Rand Paul, hey, forget the masks. It should just be completely up to you when we're talking about public transportation, you know, period. Or do you think that there still should be mandates, at least as far as that's concerned? I think more states or cities, specific cities, where the Delta variant is exploding, they're going to really deal with that. So you can send me your thoughts at kate@katedelaneyradio.com or jump on the phone, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. For something completely different, when I was a kid, one of the things that that I liked was this thing called Dole Whip. And I haven't, since I've been younger, I haven't seen it mentioned, at least in outside of the gates of Disney World. My mother took us to the Polynesian Resort, and apparently it's a big deal because the Polynesian Resort opened on July 19th, today. And as it opened, they officially declared it National Dole Whip Day. And do you know what Dole Whip is? It's a frozen pineapple kind of treat. It debuted in the early 80s at Aloha Isle in the Magic Kingdom's Adventureland at Disney World. Now you can find it in any of the Disney places like Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Lines, and they really, really guard their Disney magical treat as far as what is the official recipe. But there is a recipe that's floating around that I think is rather close to what Disney serves up. And the reason for me that I would call this a mic drop moment is, one, it's a great memory, reminds me of my mom. But, you know, I wasn't like a huge ice cream fan, but I love this Dole Whip. And we had it every single day. We're like there for a week. So for 7 days, I had a Dole Whip. Wow. I can't think of anything that I've eaten 7 days in a row, honestly, since then. So, mic drop. And here's the big moment, because I'm going to give you the recipe. So, here's the recipe. 1 1/2 to 3/4 cup of pineapple juice divided, 2 cups of frozen pineapple chunks, 1 cup of dairy-free vanilla ice cream. It's so simple, right? You put the pineapple juice, the frozen pineapple, and the vanilla ice cream in a blender. You blend it until it's smooth. Got to be careful not to blend it too much. Sometimes I have that problem. I get blend happy. If it's too thick to blend, you add a couple of tablespoons of pineapple juice, scoop it into bowls, and you serve it immediately, because that's the key. You got to serve it second it's done, because it's nice and cold. So if you make that amount that just left my lips, 4 people can partake in the tasty Dole Whip. But warning, you have to really like pineapple, because if you don't like pineapple, you're not going to like that, right? So if you like it, you will really, really enjoy it. And I love the fact that I just happened to find out that it was Dole Whip Day, National Dole Whip Day. There's a day for everything. You just make it up, right? National Dole Whip Day. Seriously, it's super, super, super good. All right, a couple of odds and ends for you. I love that coffee constantly. Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? What can it help you do? Coffee is constantly debated. The merits or what's not so good about coffee. And so the latest thing that I saw about coffee is, according to a registered dietitian at Mayo Clinic, that drinking coffee leads to weight loss because caffeine is a stimulant that increases metabolism in the body. And this is what one dietitian says, that caffeine alone doesn't contribute to long-term weight loss because there's other factors, of course, diet, exercise, all of that. But it can increase your basal metabolic rate. And it's a small percentage overall of what happens and how you burn calories. So it's not going to be so incredibly significant that you're on the coffee diet, but, you know, which most people are looking for, massive, can I just drop all the weight tomorrow? But that it does help. And there are others, though, that say that it's not necessarily true that can, I don't know, does caffeine suppress appetite? Does it reduce feelings of hunger, or is it the opposite of that? It may be, and with coffee, as it's been suggested many times, it might be how much coffee is consumed between your meals. I mean, how much coffee are you drinking? Is it 1 cup of coffee? Is it a couple of cups of coffee? And I still think this anyway. Everybody's body is different in how they react, you know? How much is too much? But, you know, the whole thing with liver cancer, they were saying drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day reduces that risk. So, and that along the same lines, there was the whole idea from the National Coffee Association that roasting, you know, darker roasting doesn't change the amount of caffeine in coffee beans, because some people think that when you've got rich flavors of darker roast, there's a higher level of caffeine. But what the National Coffee Association is releasing is that light roast could actually have a very slightly higher caffeine content. Isn't it funny what we assume? I mean, there's so much about coffee. It'll dehydrate you. It'll shorten your lifespan. There was a study done a couple of years ago. It was in JAMA, the Internal Medicine Research Study that they did, where they analyzed data from 500,000 Brits over a 10-year period, found that drinking coffee, whether it was decaf or caffeinated, was inversely associated with the risk of dying, including those who had 8 or more cups a day. I mean, what's the acceptable amount of coffee? It does have antioxidants, I believe that, but it's probably like anything else. I mean, you could go overboard. I have a coffee maker that makes, I want to say, I got it as a present. I want to say it makes like 32 cups. It's crazy insane. And of course, I'm not drinking 32 cups of coffee. I don't even know what would come out when I crack open the mic if I was drinking 32 cups of coffee. You know, I'm the drink the coffee and I'm constantly warming it up, constantly warming up. Somebody suggested to me today, you just need a coffee warmer. Just go get one of those little, like, coaster things, and it'll warm the coffee. You don't have to constantly run to warm up coffee. So take that for, you know, what it's worth, I suppose, right? It could go either way. I think as in anything, when lots of studies are done, there's some grain of truth that you can take out of some of the research, and then there's other things that wouldn't apply because so much could be measured in amounts, what the rest of the diet is like, you know, all that kind of thing would be wrapped into it for sure. All right, there's no official man cave this time around, so I thought it would be interesting to mention a couple of quick stories. The U.S. track, one of the U.S. track athletes mentioned that he's not vaccinated. U.S. middle distance runner Cole Hawker, who's going to Tokyo unvaccinated, as this whole idea of who's testing positive, etc., it becomes part of the deal. And I just talked about a swimmer earlier that was unvaccinated. So he's from the University of Oregon. He won the 1500 meters in the Olympic trials. He'd be the youngest at 20 to represent the U.S. in an Olympics in that track event since 1968. He's one of three finalists for the Bowerman Award, which is track's version of the Heisman Trophy, if you will. And to get to the starting line for the heats August 30, he would have to test negative for COVID-19 multiple times. And he is leaving for Tokyo on the 28th. Opening ceremony is on Friday. Keep your fingers crossed for him because he is really spectacular. But, you know, if something happens, then he gets knocked out of it. I mean, that's the nightmare scenario. He won't even compete. The International Olympic Committee hasn't required that 10,000 athletes have to be vaccinated. So things are pretty fragile when it comes to the pandemic-plagued possibilities of the Olympics. You know, I think Coco Gauff, the tennis player that I mentioned that tested positive for coronavirus, forcing her out, really kind of shook things up. And I think you're going to find that there's probably others that are going to have the same thing happen to them. I mean, what are the odds? Here's the other thing. What are the odds that an athlete would be contact traced out of an event? Is, you know, what is that going to look like? It's probably possible, but will that happen? Will that happen or not? I mean, the virus is out there, and they're in an environment where they don't know what the other populations have been doing to protect themselves. So you're kind of walking into a... This could go either way. I think the athletes have so much to focus on that they just can't focus on that, and they have to just keep doing what they do and take the tests and really hope for the best. Tweet This coming out next to round out the hour. I'm Kate Delaney. We have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What is trending on Twitter? Some of it's pretty interesting, including something that Sean Hannity said today about vaccinations when it comes to COVID. But before we go there, let's go out to David in San Francisco. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, Kate. Yeah, I heard you talking about California, COVID, and the Olympics.
Yeah.
And just to give a report out here in San Francisco, I don't think we've lost a single person in almost 3 weeks. But Los Angeles, I think they're up to 24,500 dead. And there are some counties down there, San Bernardino County out near Las Vegas. They were losing almost 30 people a day a couple of days ago. And so it is very important to start, doing the masks again. I ride a bicycle, and hypothetically I'm by myself as I do it, but maybe 100 people can see me at any given moment. So I keep wearing a mask just for, kind of public show. I'm not going to be cavalier about a disease. But regarding the Olympics, the original purpose of the Olympics was to bring all of the nations together and, end war and bring them all together for a peaceful contest of sports. And it seems to me right now we've got a great opportunity where we could bring nations together maybe in a more intellectual way as opposed to for the sports, to eradicate a disease or to create health care for the world. So it seems like we've got a great opportunity to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, but it's the opposite of that because it's all about money, money, money. And so that's the problem, David. Tokyo is tiptoeing around everything while they're seeing that people in Tokyo, the rates are insane of those that are getting infected with the Delta variant. And, of course, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, they wanted to make this Olympics happen, and it could spell disaster. It could be a complete bust. But to your point, it could have been the opposite of that.
Well, it still can be. But you're reminding me almost every one of the Olympics for the last number of years, whether it was Australia or Los Angeles or Brazil or I'm trying to think of how many of them, they basically bulldozed whole neighborhoods of poor people just for a brand new stadium. And
yeah,
then that stadium sits empty afterward and there are no houses for the poor.
Yeah.
And, so it's almost for decades now, this same scam has been going on where the city gives away a license to have the Olympics and redevelop a whole neighborhood. But after it's all, 2-3 weeks of sport, all of a sudden the city is back to devastation and even worse.
Oh, yeah. Brazil is a great example of that. We could do a whole hour talking about that. It's interesting you brought that up, and I will talk more about that after we go through this Olympics to see what happened after Tokyo. But you're right, and I think Brazil was terrible. There were some other countries that really it just crushed the impoverished people in the area. Thanks for the call, David, and hey, wearing your mask, doing the thing, saying, this is what I do, period. And as I said, I mean, that's the key is that freedom of choice and exercising it the other way. All right, so here's for tweet this. Here's what Sean Hannity said. He said, I believe in the science of vaccination. And on Monday on his show, he made an appeal for viewers to get vaccinated against COVID-19. He said, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died. We don't need any more deaths. I believe in science. I believe in the science of vaccination. So hear, hear. I would agree that I don't get it. I don't understand the hesitancy other than I can't imagine if you were young and pregnant, the concerns of some of what some of the has happened to women who are pregnant. I could see how you would be very skittish about that. And there are other scenarios medically where you can't get a second dose or because of an adverse first reaction and then you're waiting in between and the doctor's trying to clear you for that. I know somebody in that situation. But otherwise, yeah, it's tough to wrap your head around. Why not? Why not? All right, here's a couple of interesting tweets that went viral. And one of them was I have to kind of describe them for you, but one of them is this one that I thought was pretty hilarious. Got like 33,000 likes and was shared, excuse me, almost 5,000 times. Ben Votus tweeted out, my wife's horse has a problem with flies bothering his leg wound, so she harnessed her doctoral degree and fashioned him jean suspenders. So there's a horse that's in the barn. Cute looking face, regular horse that you would see just out there galloping around. And it has blue jean suspenders on. It is pretty hilarious to actually see it. This is radio. I'm just giving you the description. Just think of a pretty horse that's got blue jean suspenders on it. So it was pretty funny and people shared it all over the place. And then there was, I thought this was just great. Julian King tweeted out, I just pulled my car over and served these girls. And he got out and just started doing the double dutch, you know, the jump rope. Oh, it was incredible. And it made me think about jumping rope, right? Like when I would cover boxers, I never saw any other athletes, and I'm sure they can, but I never saw athletes as good at jumping rope as the boxers that I interviewed, because it was something they continuously did for footwork, etc. And playing a little bit of tennis when I was a kid, we had a jump rope, and I was, if I could just let me get to 100, please. So there was never any double dutch in my world. And this was shared, you know, liked 70,000 times, and it was shared 10,000 times, and, you know, you got to have some pretty good footwork to go at that incredibly fast level, and some people do, and I can see why. For, like I said, for some athletes, jumping rope is vital because of, one, how, what it does to, I think, your core and how it keeps you in shape, and then your endurance, you know, too. All right, let's bust out something else. How about, there's always great sports, right? I was looking at some of the stuff on my sports feed. So Tutu Zondo shared this on Twitter, and it was liked 40,000 times, and it was retweeted almost 6,000 times, and there was the photographs of Dennis Rodman. Do you remember this? In a wedding dress. Rodman was one of the greatest rebounders in NBA history, but he definitely did whatever he wanted to do. He marched to his own drum, so to speak. And it just said, you know, that his tweet was Dennis Rodman marrying himself in 1996. Sometimes on Twitter, people dig out the greatest hits, like something odd, almost like a throwback Thursday that a lot of people might not have seen. If you think about it, you think of the, you know, the years. Then there was somebody who shared on Twitter, I thought this was cool. There was a frog with what looked to be almost like a half a strawberry on their head, looking into a mirror saying, I'm going to try to be nicer to you. And the person who tweeted it said, this made me sob. And it was a cutish cartoon drawing. The frog had the, like, frown on their face. And it was liked 42,000 times, shared 8,000 times. And there were 31 people that commented on it, too, as well. So I think the saying really just stuck with the people who did that. Tweet this, another one for the books. We're Twittering out of here. By the way, you can always hit me up on Twitter by going to Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show.
Big billy balls speak to the man in the red drywall. His bound
fall. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get for my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.